Good morning, you sexy sons of bitches. It's Friday. I have the funniest, like, behind the scenes shit going on here. First of all, you may notice that Simpiwe is just show her chair. There's no Simpiwe. So Simpiwe's had a hell of a week. On Monday, we were standing around in the office and I was in a meeting and I suddenly heard like doom. You know, something hit the ground. And I was like, Jesus, what the hell was that? It was Simpiwe. She just like passed out. And she hit her head really hard on the desk behind her. So we were all really justifiably worried. And you know, like there were people running around. It's always funny in an office when like something terrible happens or there's an emergency of some kind, or you know, you need people to help out. And there are always some people who are really good in a crisis situation. And then there are people who are no use at all. Like we got Marvin, who was pretty useful. I got to say, I don't think James and Flex were in the room at the time, were you? No, so they weren't very useful. But I don't think you two would be terrible in an emergency. No, I know you would. And then there was Michaela, who started with us running social media recently. And she was literally like, but she didn't know what to do at all. Useless, completely useless to us. I mean, she's very, very good at what she does and she's very sweet, but don't call on her in an emergency. Am I right? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, we checked on Sims. So she took Tuesday and Wednesday to recover. Because, you know, you can, I mean, if you hit your head badly, you can get a concussion. You could be in some serious trouble. And we were very worried about her for a little bit, but she was back at work on Thursday. And then we had an awards thing last night. And I said to her, Simpiwe, glad to see that you're up and at him and you're not drooling. And, you know, she wasn't sitting there going, because that would have been terrible. Anyway, so she's okay. And I think she's walking in as we speak. Look at this. We're gonna have a real-time update. Look at that. Come on down. I was just talking about you. I was just saying that I hope you're okay.
No, I made it.
I was telling everybody about your adventure on Monday where you passed out.
Oh, hell. Gareth, I thought that was between TRN and us.
Sorry. Nothing. Nothing is saved from our audience. Are you okay?
I'm good. I mean, I made it for the show.
How was the rest of last night?
I wish I was as brave as you, Gareth, like, and was like, fuck it, I'm done. And
okay,
then
he
lived.
So I'll tell you what happened last night. We had an awards ceremony.
Yes.
And TRN was up for an award for the rebranding that we did back in March, April. And we ended up getting a bronze, which was awesome because there wasn't a gold.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I take that as a silver then. I don't care what they say.
True.
It was the Bookmark Awards, but I'm not very good at those things, so I don't hang around for very long. And the rest of the team was there to represent, so I didn't feel like I needed to be. It went well.
Yeah, it went okay. You know, the one big walkaway was we should take 4 hours off every day. So I'm.
Oh, is that what somebody said?
Yes. We should definitely take off 4 hours every day. And then what was the other one? The other one was take an extra hour when you go on your lunch break. Those are two very important announcements.
I think that's when that was said. That's when I got up and left.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
cool.
In the middle of.
So that was the only important
remarks.
Thing. Okay. Only important thing.
Well, listen, I'm more importantly happy that you, after bumping your head so hard on Monday, that you're okay, because that was not cool and everybody was a little bit worried.
Yes.
And I was telling them I was very relieved when I saw you and you weren't drooling. And... All right. So. This morning, we have a lot to get to.
Yes.
We are going to be joined a little bit later on by Sandile Shangase, who, if you haven't watched On the Bounce, then you will know Sandile already from all kinds of other places. But if you have watched On the Bounce, you'll know he's the co-host there with Ben. And the two of them will be in a little later on. We'll talk a bit about sport and talk a bit about where they both have been, what they're up to, and all kinds of other interesting things, and let you ask them all the personal questions that you don't get to ask on their show.
Mm-hmm.
So loads of stuff to talk about then. And hey, the Mpox is out, says Goon in the comments. And Simpiwe is just collapsing and making a comeback without an explanation. She doesn't have the Mpox. Don't panic. Okay, and can I tell you what? I think this thing's bullshit. And it's going to take a lot of convincing. for me to take any precautions that the government or the general medical establishment tell me to do. And you know what? If it kills me, for those people who are panicky and worried, but what if it's true? Then I'll be your first casualty. You could say, well, if he's dead, I'm definitely going to go and take the precautions. Okay? Let me be your guinea pig.
Okay.
But until I am convinced, I am taking no advice from the people who gave us COVID advice. Okay? So I'll be your canary in the coal mine on that front. Floyd, says Carl, can you believe it? I know it's no Politics Friday, but what the bar?
Yes! Get okay. It.
So what do we think? Floyd Shivambu upped and just left the EFF.
Yeah, he was like, I ain't coming back, motherfucker, and I'm out. That's what he said. He said, you've been treating me like nonsense for 10 years, and you know what? I'm down with your black ass, and I'm going to go to somebody who's going to appreciate me. That's what I think he said. I think
that would have been a much better press conference. I actually would have watched the press conference if you'd done it. If you'd been a scriptwriter, I would have been all over it. Anyway, yeah, I think he got sick of being second fiddle.
Yes.
I think Julius stole the lion's share of attention and tenders for himself. And I think Floyd is like, eh. I had enough of being your like law enforcer inside the party, because that's kind of what he was. He was like, he was like the big, like he was the heavy that you brought in.
Yes.
You know, because people were way more scared of Floyd than they were of Julius inside the party. And we heard already last year there were ructions going on, that they weren't getting along very well.
Yes.
And now he's gone to join MK, along with the venerable Jimmy Manyi.
Hey.
Ah. Mm.
Hey, guys.
Mswanyele Manyi.
It's so, getting interesting.
I think it is interesting. Like, I think we're actually in a very, very cool place in this country where you can now, like, the battle lines are drawn. You can stake your claim. And then we can ascertain a whole bunch of other things about you. You know, so good for Floyd. He had the smart. I mean, listen, it's not really that much of a choice. Let's think about it. Do you want to be number two in a party that has 9%? Or do you want to be number three or four in a party that is 14%? Proportionally, you have a better deal in the party with 14%. Plus, it's clever of because he is slowly making his party less about just him. Because if it's just him and he hops the perch tomorrow, like, you know, he's busy out there in Kantla and he slips and trips in the fire pool.
It's done.
Finish.
It's done.
So this is a good move for Floyd. It's a good move for Jay-Z. It's a good move for the country. Because, you know, that party's so full of good people like, you know, Lucky Montana and... yes, no, there's some good people in there.
But what is interesting with the MK, because also earlier this week, they announced, I think they're on a recruiting spree. I don't know what's going on.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, because they also have confirmed that they're adding former Eskom CEO, former PRASA chief, former Transnet boss. So it's like, there's a lot happening, guys. There's going to be a whole lot more announcements, in my opinion. And it looks like MK is not yet to play, hey?
Mm-mm. No, but they also, I mean, they're really, it's quantity over quality for them, because as you said, Brian Molefe and, you know, these are great people who've ripped the country blind. But okay, again, you know what it does? Instead of getting like all bent out of shape about that, you can go, thanks, guys, you're doing us a favor. We can vote for state capture or not state capture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that the not state capture crew are all fantastic, because we know they've got their problems, right? The government and national unity crew. But at least you know what the other guys stand for now. I just feel sorry. I do feel a little bit sorry for Julius, because it does mean that it's just going to be a downhill slide for the EFF. I mean, I don't see them growing now. I don't see it getting better for them, you know?
He was so heartbroken. He compared this to his mother's death.
Shim. Like, did he say that?
Yes. Oh, I watched a bit of the press conference. He is so heartbroken. He is just like, you know, the EFF has a policy. Once you've left and you join another party, you can't come back. But for Floyd, they'll make an exception.
Oh, really?
He views him as a brother. Yes. And the doors will always be open for him because he's a founding member. So he's very heartbroken about this, and I don't know where this will leave the EFF. He also said that this might make or break them.
The problem is, though, that I don't know whether I ever believe politicians. Like, the problem that I have with them is so often what they're doing is performing for an audience, that when they say something that sounds like they could be telling the truth or that they do mean it, I still go, you know, I don't think that's unfair. Anyway, so we got lots to get to this morning. I also have to tell you that Flex and James, who are sitting in the production booth over there, having a bit of a rough morning because they... what time did you finish puzzying last night? Flex, what time? All right, so we've all, you, everybody's asked in the comments here. They've all met James. They've seen what James looks like. They saw his ass being paddled on Wednesday. What, Monday? They saw him getting his ass paddled on Monday. So, Flex, come here quickly and say hello to everybody. No, you have to come. Come here and just come and sit next to Simpiwe so that people can see who you are.
Hi, Flex.
So you just have to sit and say hi, and then I won't terrorize you anymore. Okay, so just...
Did you hear that grunt?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. James, do you know which camera he's on? There he is. There's Flex. There he is.
Hi, Flex.
Yeah, that camera's aligned beautifully. Hello. All right. Okay, thank you, Flex. You don't have to worry. I'm not going to torment you.
I know your work to do.
There, now you know he's a real person, everybody. Listen, we were a little bit worried that Simpiwe wasn't going to make it this morning, but have no fear. I have lots of things to talk to you about today. So first of all, this is fascinating.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw the story. If you didn't, this may be the first place you hear about it. But
okay.
Matthew Perry, apparently they've arrested a person over the death of Matthew Perry from Friends. Remember they say he drowned in his pool?
Last.
Or his jacuzzi or whatever?
It was last.
He was found unresponsive at his Los Angeles home in October last year. A post-mortem examination found the cause of his death was the acute effects of ketamine.
Nazo.
Yeah, a controlled drug which the recovering addict was taking as part of his supervised therapy. Just by the way, probably not such a good idea to take ketamine and hop in the pool. Just generally, even if someone did kill him, you probably shouldn't do that. Call me a stickler. But you know, if you're super high and in water, this is not a good combo. Yeah. Anyway, LA police opened an investigation in May of this year to determine whether he was overdosed with drugs and why maybe he had so much of the drug in his system. And then they reported that multiple people had been arrested and were facing federal charges. Ketamine is used as a treatment for depression, anxiety, and pain. People close to Matthew Perry told a coroner's investigation after the death he was undergoing the treatment just how the actor, who had reportedly not had a supervised infusion session for several days, obtained the drug, became the subject of the legal investigation. So I want to ask you an honest question here, and you don't have to admit whether you are a user or a recreational user, or you're a stickler for not doing it at all. Do you think it's right that if someone overdoses themselves, that the dealer should go down? I mean, the dealer is not your doctor, and the dealer is not you, and the dealer isn't force-feeding the drug into you, and often the dealer's just a dude who has a car. So, between us, do you really think they should be going after the dealer here, or possibly the ketamine clinic that he was at? Because he's still the one who took the stuff unsupervised and put himself in that position. I'm not trying to exonerate everybody. There's obviously a little bit of blame to go around. But what do you think? I mean, who really ultimately should be responsible for the fact that Matthew Perry ended up high and in his pool? I don't think it's really those other people. I'm happy to take anyone else's idea on this.
I think if it was Ordinary Joe, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. But because it's Holly Weird.
Oh, okay.
And because also I'm thinking of Kanye when he dropped screenshots of what his doctor said to him. Mm-hmm. On Sam, I can get you like addicted to all sorts of drugs without you knowing it. And there's basically Hollywood handlers. And you might not even know what you're taking, right?
Yeah.
Because these people are very... Hey, Mushigishigi is a lot there. I do believe that they should go after, you know, the person that subscribed the pills and whatnot. And they should go after that because I do think it's a whole thing. Like they do it on purpose. It's there's a reason why these guys stay in the cycle even when they've left and they're like, I'm sober now and whatnot. And then 10 years later, chigi chigi. And the only link is their doctor.
Ah. Yeah, well, you remember Conrad Murray, right? To help your case along. Like Dr. Conrad Murray is the guy who was injecting propofol into Michael Jackson.
Yes.
But he was like literally there going, do you want some more, Michael? Michael,
yes, doctor, I would love some more. I love to be on propofol. It makes me feel like I'm in love again and I can make music. I can do it. I can do it all, doctor. Give me more.
And then he died. So yeah, Dr. Conrad Murray went to jail. And I think if you're there actually injecting the shit into your patient at the rough time that he dies, I mean, Mapelo says they should only go after the dealer if he sold to a minor, not a grown man. One of the doctors said, I wonder how much money we can get out of this moron. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Yes.
And that's okay. And you know what? Frankly, if his life was so shitty that he was seeking the ketamine treatment, then he wanted to make his life better. If the doctor said to him, do this, but don't do it at home, and he thought, what does the doctor know? It's on him. Yeah. Sorry. I know it's Hollywood, and you make a good point.
Yeah, no? Hollywood. When it comes to Hollywood, anything is possible. So I personally just think that, yeah, I'm like, let them all go down. Let the truth be told what happened.
Max Sony says, I'm very silly. Okay, well. I don't know if is it my opinions or my Michael Jackson, my shitty Michael Jackson impersonation. Should never have bought the drugs if he did via a dealer. The moment he did that, it's his fault. Coming from someone who's taken some hard stuff before. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay.
At least he's owning up to it and he's giving us some life experience. I'm going to make a video of all of Gareth's impersonations and accents. Bro's always on points, is Barely Vocal Media. Really? Sometimes I'm not, but okay. Don't embarrass me, right? More than I embarrass myself, if you don't mind.
Okay.
That would be nice. anyway, look, it's all very sad. And I think what happens when a celebrity dies is we all go, oh, no, that's terrible. Can't we bring them back? And you can't. So I'm sorry if you're a Friends fan. First of all, I'm sorry that it's not the 90s for you anymore because that era is over. Second of all, the Friends are now in their 60s. So...
So if
anyone who's just discovered them now, they don't look like that anymore. Okay, I hate to break it to you. And third of all, that era of like just doing drugs and, you know, like I'm talking even before Friends, the 60s, the 70s, lots of people died then, but people just went. Now I think, you know, if it's a famous person, big investigation. If it's just some person who's taken street drugs and they die, people just go, you know, only for famous people that we have to get into the detail like this.
That's true.
Okay. So, this is quite a good story. Apparently North Korea is going to reopen for tourism after 5 years. Ha! Why? Because North Korea is best Korea. Yeah. So you can go there now and eat some, you can go to North Korea and maybe they'll have some, I mean, go to North Korea and visit the tomb of Kim Il-sung.
Is that what it has going for it, besides rats?
Sims, that is what you have to do first. So, as the great Christopher Hitchens once said,
okay,
North Korea, where he had traveled before himself, so he had eyewitness accounts of this, North Korea is what you call a necrocracy or a mausolocracy. It's actually ruled by a dead man. Kim Il-sung, father of Kim Jong-il, father of Kim Jong-un. So in other words, Kim Jong-un's granddaddy is buried in a mausoleum in North Korea's capital city of Pyongyang. When you arrive in North Korea as a tourist, you have to have your head read. I mean, when you get to North Korea and you want to check the place out because it's so beautiful, then the first place they take you is to Kim Il-sung's mausoleum. And you have to pay your respects to him. You know why? Because he is still, despite being dead since the 70s, 80s, still the boss. He is the head of state. So, you know, our head of state at the moment is Silili Cupcake Ramaphosa.
So, question.
Yeah.
How do they make decisions? Like, do they channel his inner spirit?
That's
like
a good question. And you know who can answer it? The Biden administration, because he's dead too. And has been for a year.
Yeah.
So technically on planet Earth at the moment, we have two Morzalok. Look at him. Look at him on the beach. There's Biden and poor old Jill. She's reading her nurse's manual on how to change an adult diaper in that particular picture. Meanwhile, there's a bit of drool and dribble and some brown stuff coming down the back of Joe's leg. But he's having a good sleep. Anyway, it is true that in North Korea, the head of state is still Kim Il-sung. And the head of government is Kim Jong-un, his grandson. But if he magically had to wake up and they've got him embalmed in there, mm-hmm. He's embalmed, so he's lying there like that. And if he had to wake up one day, don't know, maybe if they, you know, discover some way of unfreezing him and making him come back to life, then he would still be the boss. In the meantime, if he makes magic happen around his tomb or whatever, that will be a sign that he likes a certain policy. I don't know how it works. But when you land in North Korea, that's the first thing you have to do. The second thing you have to do in North Korea is immediately start foraging for food because they don't have any.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there is no food. There has been no food for a very long time. In fact, what food they have is usually provided by what pets they had about 5 years ago, which some people bury in the snow so they can keep it for the next year or whatever. Huge malnutrition. It's a massive problem over there. But they dance beautifully and they have great synchronized marches.
Wait, so they're inviting us to starve. Whoa.
No, well, maybe they'll open up one restaurant. You know what? The other thing is that happens in North Korea is that they assign you a guide who will take you to the parts of North Korea that are approved for you to see. You don't just get to wander around. Like, you can't wake up in the morning in your hotel, communist concrete flat in the middle of some shitty neighborhood where ironically there are no birds chirping because they've eaten all of those too. But anyway, you wake up, you can't wake up in your hotel and go and walk around. Like, I think I want to go and see the nuclear power plants. It's not going to happen. There is a tour guide whose actual job is to make sure you don't see anything you're not meant to see. So they'll take you to the supermarket where they have actors shopping, pretending to get fresh food, and the shelves are stocked. They'll take you to beautifully manicured parks and gardens, and not to the poor parts of town where people are literally having to eat pieces off their children.
Okay.
And they won't show you any of the misery that's going on. And they especially won't take you to the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas, because you'll see probably, you know, the skeletons of oaks who've been in there since the 50s and didn't make it across while they were trying to escape. Because the only thing we really know about North Korea is that there are no people who want to get into North Korea from South Korea. The traffic is all kind of one way. And mostly you just get shot if you try. So there we are. Been sealed off for years, though. What it is, I would be interested to go there, despite all my misgivings in the last bit. I mean, if Kim Jong-un ever watched this show, he wouldn't want me to come. So I've kind of cut myself out of a trip there now. But I'll be okay. I would like to go because it's been completely hermetically sealed off from the rest of the world. The people in North Korea don't know anything about the rest of the world that their government doesn't approve. They don't have the internet, for example. They wouldn't be able to watch this show in North Korea. They only have state television, which tells them what the state wants them to know. So, for example, on the news last night in North Korea, there was a story about how Kim Jong-un got a hole-in-one while playing golf. And then he got two hole-in-ones, and then he got three. And by the end of his golf game, he was the best golfer in the world. State-approved media. That's how it goes there. So, I don't know. It might be interesting. Anyway, they have been closed for 5 years due to the COVID pandemic. Again, North Korea is best Korea, right? According to our operators, at least two China-based operators announced, that's tour operators, announced that they are going to soon allow tourists to visit the mountainous northern city of Sumyeon. Reclusive North Korea sealed itself off at the start of the pandemic in 2020 and only opened last year. Huh? I mean, they've been closed the whole time. So Beijing's Koryo Tour said that tourists could potentially visit other parts of North Korea in December. Having waited for over 4 years to make this announcement, Koryo Tours is very excited for the opening of North Korean tourism once again. And so are we. I mean, I've painted such a great picture. Aren't you excited to go?
I'd love to go. Excited,
yeah? Yeah. The U.S. bans its citizens from traveling there. So if you're an American, I'm sorry, you can't go.
Damn.
Yeah, they've only allowed Russian tourists to enter the country since 2024 amid warming ties between the two nations. The only warning should be don't go to North Korea. But I don't know. I'm all for open borders in terms of tourists. Let people go and explore the wonderful country of North Korea.
Hmm.
How did they do at the Olympics again? Because I saw there was a Kim Jong-un impersonator.
Were they even there?
Yeah. They were allowed into Paris, but the most exciting thing about a North Korean team, wasn't there one that visited here in 2010 for the Soccer World Cup and they tried to just disappear into like Limpopo somewhere? They did. They didn't want to be here.
They're like, freedom, yeah. Where are you?
Let me tell you, if you think escaping into the Limpopo hinterland is better than where you come from is pretty fucking shitty. That's all I can say.
Can I just...
Hey, Ben, how's it?
Yeah, good, guys. Finally. And secondly, if you go to YouTube and type in North Korea ski resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keen?
Place is ready for us.
Okay, yeah, because no other tourists are there. They've been ready for the last 5 years, but the country wasn't open. The government wouldn't let it happen. Okay. All right, so Ben is here, which is always good, Friday morning. Are you ready for the weekend, Ben?
Sheepers, I'm so ready. I know we did the show yesterday where we spoke at length about the sports, but just waking up knowing that Perth's been taken over this weekend with our finest exponents of success and brilliance. And yes, I'm so excited for this weekend. So excited.
You talked a lot on the show yesterday about Trickus and the big fight. Mm-hmm. And I think you said also that our rugby players are going to lead him into the...
So we've got Eben and Sia are literally walking out with him.
Sia and Eben, huh?
It's an absolute pinnacle South African sport moment that we've never had before, may never have again. And I mean, like tonight, like Ricky listens to the show.
Yeah.
He gave us his itinerary for the weekend in Perth.
Yeah. He's going to everything. I saw
and
that.
Tonight there's like this Bok Town, Bok Jol. There's local artists from here that have gone there. It's just going to be the most incredible weekend.
Carl says, Ben always sneaks into the show like a pedo at a primary school polo meet. That's
slow,
nice.
Slow projection there, Carl. I think I do none of those things. I think it says more about you than me.
Is there a reason you're not putting Sandile on right now? Okay, well, no, bring him in. Get the man comfortable, for God's sake. People already know him from On the Bounce and everywhere else. Sandile, you were made to feel very unwelcome sitting over there.
Sitting there. Yeah, kind of left him out.
He was sitting there like a North Korean visa office.
Don't worry, James.
Morning, guys.
Sorry, Sandile, James and Flex are both drunk because they were at an award.
Yeah, they're suffering from a hangover.
I thought there was a different kind of dull in James's eyes this morning.
Yeah. Anyway, so nice to see you, Sandile Shangase and Ben Karpinski, of course, host On the Bounce.
Yeah.
Which is our sports show here on The Real Network. And I thought, you know what? You've been on there long enough now without coming to this show, Sandile. Yes. So it's time you come and join your friend Ben here.
That makes it really, really official. I mean, 10 episodes yesterday and now you're on the morning show. Like, this is it.
But sorry it's taken so long.
But I want to actually, you know, you guys did my guy James very, very wrong in the week. I saw what you did to him.
when he got when he got saddled on the ass.
I had to represent my show.
And I did not see that man complain.
No, it was a bit strange to watch my boy on his all fours.
Sandile, let's be fair though. I mean, he didn't get hit hard. He consented. Leanne was very, very big on consent. And frankly,
so
you know,
Dominatrix, frankly, she's very big on consent.
I think, let me tell you that Dominatrix, she knows her stuff, hey? She brought all the tools. You should have seen the bag she left in the office. She brought one little bag in here. She has a bag that can accommodate fishing rods.
That is
all kinds of stuff. Oh, she's got a ton of stuff to beat people with.
I was sitting here on Monday and I heard her before I saw her, and she just sounded like a lovely old tanny.
It'd be those ones. It'd be those ones, bro.
She didn't sound like she looked at all. I'm going to say she looked bad, but she looked different, right? She looks like the kind of woman that would offer you another rusk with your coffee. And then she comes in with the bats.
She did. She did.
She gets you, how?
Yeah, shame she was
sweet.
And
then once you're like, oh, thank you so much. You're so lovely. She's like, would you like a spanking with that?
That is. That was just strange, guys, for me.
So, Sandile, first of all, how's the show going for you guys? Are you having lots of fun? 10 episodes in?
It's been amazing, especially coming into the second half of the year. A lot of sports to watch. EPL is back. So, we're about to be ruined for the past next 9 months. You know, 11 guys who get overpaid are about to ruin our lives for the next 9 months. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting.
That's where it comes from.
And I support Man United. I feel like
I was hoping to leave that Man United stuff out. But it's okay. You brought it up. So
it's an exciting
time. I mean, actually, you know, you couldn't have started the show at a better time because there's so much going on. There's so much to watch. There's so much to talk about. South Africans are sports obsessed. We know this. And you've been sport obsessed for a while, but that's not your whole story. So, I mean, for people who don't know you, because you've been in events, you've done a whole lot of interesting stuff in your life, just give us a little snapshot, little summarized CV so that those who are encountering you for the first time this morning can find out a little bit.
I don't even know this. I just asked him about sports and then we became friends.
This is the first time Ben's going to hear it anyway.
So my life has been pretty colorful. You know, 18, went to Wit, studied law, did my LLB, did my postgrad in law, did my articles. Then, you know, what do you know at 18, you know?
Well, you knew a lot more than me. I never finished law, never did my articles. My parents still can't believe they wasted all that money on a degree.
Even worse, so like I told my parents after my articles that I hate this thing.
Oh, what did they say?
They're like, go figure it out. But my parents are super supportive. And then I got into marketing and eventing. You know, me and my friends started an events company called Until back in the day. Mm. And, you know, we did it.
That's where I first heard of you.
Yes.
Until, you guys did some pretty awesome events.
Thank you, GC.
And I mean, it's incredible how everybody always says, you know, you've got to go and get a degree so that you can practice law, or you can be a doctor, or you can be an engineer. But the old idea of university was that you went there to learn about a whole bunch of things and then do whatever you wanted afterwards. And you kind of proved that. I love examples like yours because you get out of there and everybody will assume that you're now going to go and work in one of these firms here in Sandton that has big buildings.
And I did it and it sucked.
Like a wage slave, right? Because those people, when you see those lights on at night, it's not because they've forgotten the lights on. It's because some poor son of a bitch is working.
Yeah. So that was the first part. You know, I just recently left Until, got in a new adventure. So that's me and my little, you know, 34-year life, you know, journey. Apparently, I'm still a baby. I'm almost...
How many children around the world that you don't know about?
Zero. I don't have any children.
That you don't know about?
I'm 100% sure.
That are
my girlfriend's watching the show, so 100%
just
zero.
All right. Okay. Because Ben has one or two, he just doesn't know where.
Oh, it's Ben.
That's also a lie.
But it's okay. You know how you can tell Ben's children? No. They're still inside the mum because they got big heads like Ben. They can't get out.
Ben, I thought I was bad.
Yeah, well, I got to come back from that.
All right. And other than that, I mean, it always strikes me as interesting when you meet people who are massive sports fans, because I'm not. And I know South Africans who are not big sports fans, we get looked at funny.
Yes, definitely.
If you were invited to Loftus, you would go.
100%.
Ben would go. Simpiwe would even go.
Yeah, for the vibes.
Yeah.
Not for sports.
But I would tell people, and I have been offered these things before, I'd say, give it to someone who deserves it. I was once invited to the Monaco Grand Prix, and I said, you're wasting your time. It would be a waste of money on me. Give it to someone who deserves it.
You went to a Lakers game.
I did.
I'm a big Lakers fan.
He was there going,
what is happening?
So boring.
No, I had an argument with Star Jones. Do you remember her?
Yes, you had an argument. GC, what are you actually doing?
I went and sat down courtside at the, it was the LA All-Star game, actually. And the Lakers played afterwards.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. I actually met, I was there with Azania
Musaka.
Nice. Yeah.
And she can back me up on the story. Because I said to Azza, let's go and sit right at courtside. We don't have tickets for it. Our tickets are up there. but we're going to go and sit there and see what happens because there were all these celebrities pulling in. So she and I sat down, and Star Jones, who was at that point, I think, on The View.
Yes.
She came and sort of, excuse me, you are in my seat. So I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but my wife, and I point to Azza. My wife thought these were our seats. She goes, oh, that your wife? And, you know, Star Jones is this much bigger than Azza. So we had a bit of a, like, argument, and then eventually some guy came around and he's like, excuse me, you can't sit here. So we got up and left. But I did meet Jack Nicholson at the same game.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson was there because he was still alive. There were a couple of really cool people.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy the basketball, but what I learned about Americans... I know. I mean, it's crazy. What can I say? I'm not going to lie and pretend
that's
I love stuff.
That's the easiest sport. You just got to put something in a hoop. That's it.
I know. And there were moments where it was fun. Don't get me wrong. But like, what's amazing about Americans is they make it entertaining no matter what you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter how much you care about the basketball. Because they've got like this camera that will, between the guys getting the shots ready or whatever, they will focus on a couple, and then the couple will kiss, and then everybody in the audience claps for them, and then they'll zoom in on some like famous movie star, and he'll go like this, and they'll all clap for him, and then they've got like dancers, and they bring on like Alicia Keys at halftime to sing.
Yeah,
there's so much going on that you actually can't get bored.
Yeah,
and I think we've got a bit better at
Loftus
that.
Still sounds
Africa.
Better.
Yeah, I mean, you reckon Loftus is still better than that? Really?
Look, yeah, no, I'm not going to agree with you on that bit.
No. So, Sandile, I mean, doing this show, is the most difficult part of it Ben?
Most probably.
I think it was managing my starstruckness when Brian O'Banner walked in.
Oh, yeah, you guys. I think
you were a major fanboy.
Yeah.
That was basically speechless.
I was like... That's probably my most cringeworthy episode because I probably said nothing for the first like 30 minutes. And when I spoke, I asked like the completely wrong question. Ben looked at me and said, how are you throwing us off the script? So that was something else. I can't even watch that episode.
Well, it made it dynamic in itself that you went right to the final feature of the show with your first words. Yeah, but I mean, that's just how it goes.
You got to forgive me on that episode, guys. Jesus, Brian O'Banner is like the greatest, like one of the greatest South Africans. So yeah.
I think that there is nothing better, and this is why I love the show that you guys are doing, than people who really care about the thing they're talking about.
Yeah.
You can't beat that. Doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter how polished you are. You know, I've met like broadcasters and media people who are really professional looking and sounding, but they don't care about what they're talking about. They're like, and today in Pyongyang, several people ate their dogs.
That's crazy that you say that.
But if you guys talk about stuff that you really care about, and they do eat their dogs in Pyongyang, I promise you. It's all there is to eat.
Venezuela as well, also quite big into the dog.
Yeah, communism plus dog eating, they go together.
Dogs fear communism, and for good reason.
You find a dog will dislike communism more than a human. That's true. But when you guys talk about this stuff, I can't help but getting excited about it. I gave Ben credit last Friday because he got me into the Olympics like a... I'm still talking about it.
Yeah.
And I feel everybody in the audience is at some point going to go, shut up, because I can't stop. But I never cared about the Olympics before. I watch a bit of your show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, now I'm excited about Drikus on tomorrow morning at what, 5 a.m., 4:30?
So Sunday, the main card starts at 4 a.m. So you're looking at about a 6 a.m. fight.
Okay. Are you waking up?
I'm definitely waking up. It's one of those South African moments. I mean, Springboks are playing the day before. You got two Springbok legends walking him out. And he's like the most South African guy in the world. Like, he actually loves his country. And, you know, he's never a polarizing character. He just wants South Africa to be South Africa and its full ability. So I love Drikus and what he stands for. And he's actually just an athlete. He doesn't come with any chaos.
Don't know. I mean, you guys have been trying to organize an interview with him for ages. I just want to say
to
management.
Way to put it out there, GC.
I know his management. Listen, these two will give him the nicest interview and he'll have the most fun. So do the right thing.
Thank you.
I even had to talk to them on WhatsApp the other day. And I mean, they were like, what are you asking us about Drikus for? It's like, get him on the show. All right. Who's the ultimate guest for you guys? Right now, it would be Drikus, but ultimately, who would you love?
I'll go first. My ultimate guess is Gaten McKenzie.
I was going to say Gaten.
How? Indeed. Lord Gaten.
Yeah. Gaten is very important right now.
He's the MD of Sports Africa.
Yeah. We both agree on that, that the number one guy we want to get in now is Gaten, just to see where he's going to take South African sports. Everybody else, yes, you know, we did Brian Obanna, but Gaten McKenzie right now, if you're watching, please.
So, okay, so I'm going to share something which isn't going to come across very nicely, but I would rather speak to Sandile than I would speak to 95% of anyone in sport right now.
I know that.
So it's quite difficult for me to go, we're going to get someone in here, we're going to ask questions, because outside of Drikus and maybe a few other people, I'm not going to name names here and be either nice or horrible.
Yeah.
But you know what they're going to say, because they've only got so much. It's like a little window you talk about. Mm. It's quite difficult to get the further conversation.
But they also, they coached to be as boring as possible, right?
And there's interviews of them out there where you can get the same kind of thing. Mm. You know, the whole thing with the On the Bounce show is that you can get here. If you watch one show a week, it's everything encompassed in that one place. If we interview someone who you've seen before somewhere else, it's just basically us repackaging a piece of content. Well, so that's, I mean, we want to have smaller features and create different things, but the actual long sit down guests, it won't be like, there won't be too many of them.
I'll speak. I'm seeing Gaten on Thursday next week. I will tell him to come on your
show.
Thank
you. That is all you need. Thank you so much.
Sometimes you need a get up in your life.
What I love. Time. Well, yeah, I'm booked for an interview with him anyway, but I'll pass it on to you guys because I think he's got lots more to talk about in his new role with you than he would with me. I also think, what I love about this guy, because people were a bit half and half about him, I've never seen anyone do what he's doing, like the fitness stuff that he's trying to do to get into shape.
Yes.
Like, every Wednesday on that scale.
I have such respect because I know how hard it is to lose weight. I know how hard it is to wake up in the morning and go, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to have to go to gym.
Yeah.
And when you're a minister and you've got so much other stuff going on, it's easy to say I'm too important and that's not a priority and all that shit. But you know what the nice thing about that is it's like no one else can take credit for it if you do it.
Yeah.
And you must take the blame if you don't.
Yep.
It's like a total accountability, which is the opposite of what we see with politicians.
Yep.
When you have someone who is accountable, you're like, wow, look at this guy.
Yeah, and for me, like,
it's not just a shit talker.
And for me, a true passion for his portfolio that he's showing for it. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to talk badly about, you know, the last sports minister, but we can see where he is now. So true passion for what he wants to do. And he has a direction and he's super aggressive about what he wants to do. So I'm really excited about that.
That's exactly what you say, Gareth. When someone shows they care about something, it's a really cool trait. It's a really cool thing to show the world.
And also it turns out that the people who really hate Gaten, like the journalists that hate him, the political commentators that hate him, are exactly the people I don't like. So therefore, I like him even more.
Yeah,
that's also been confirmed for me as well. The people that give him shit, it's like, I always forget. I actually like this person.
Absolutely. Okay, so you called yesterday in the show. You talked about elite violence.
Yes.
Let's just explain this to us.
In the sense of rugby, they're trying to change all these rules. They're trying to, of course, nobody wants to be a vegetable and wear an adult nappy. So the head contact is obviously being monitored. Mm.
Yeah.
But there's all this talk around how you want to get the game faster and running. And the box are going, cool, have that, but we're still going to blitz in the cuck out of you.
Yep.
Mm. And because they're going to keep doing that, they'll keep
being
the best.
We even have a guy called Murat in the team.
Murat, the captain this weekend. He's got Murat in his name.
Murat.
That's what you know. And it's about being purposeful what you do. The Australians don't have elite violence. They just play around a bit and like tap each other's asses afterwards. And look at them now. And I think from like school kids onwards, it's something that we can learn the most from high-level professionals.
Yeah,
it's not about everyone getting a chance. It's about everyone being damn violent. Mm. And when you can do that on the field, you don't do it loosely as a human. So I think we should respect violence a lot more. And I think as we see with the Springboks and Drikus, they've made it their calling card, but off the field, absolute gents and very well behaved.
I think that's a good way to put it.
So I like elite violence because it makes you focus on why you must have it.
You can see why this guy loves MMA. You can definitely see why.
Yesterday I spoke by myself for about 8 minutes. It was weird.
It was a weird intro.
I
was a weird intro. I said, Ben, 8 minutes. We're like, if you're trying to cue you off of that topic. But yeah, that was crazy.
I even cut myself short. I got into a rhythm where it's just like, I do. I love it so much because, and I want other people to love it like I do.
Yeah. Sandile, what's your favorite sport and what do you love doing when you're not?
Oof, for me, I've become, and it's a weird thing, please don't judge me, I'm so into paddle now. Like,
really? Wow.
Guys, I invited Ben through. So I'm elite there. My favorite sport is...
Where do you play?
Everywhere.
Oh, anywhere there's a paddle
Anywhere there's a court.
I'm How often guy. Are we talking like...
A weekly, at least three times a week.
More time on AstroTurf than pot plants.
Yeah, I'm just like... I'm really in love with that sport. So that is really my thing right now. Yeah. My favorite sport right now. It's always a split between basketball and soccer. That's why when you said, you know, you went to the Laker game, that's probably one of my biggest goals to do before I turn 35, which is next year.
Little age confirmation there.
I'm not ashamed of it. Basketball and soccer, and Man United for my sins, and Kaiser Chiefs, even worse.
Guys,
he has cut the Proteas out, so give him credit for that, because that would be the trifecta.
And I happen to support the Proteas as
you
well.
You are a walking red flag when it comes to sports. What?
Is that a Man United quip?
No, I'm consistent. I can get through anything.
Sure, I mean, those are the teams you chose, hey? So Chiefs.
Don't even get me started.
Okay, I haven't met someone who's brave enough to say they're a Chiefs fan.
I've got to do it, guys.
For the last couple of months.
It's terrible. We're not even in the top eight. We're not even playing MTN. It's just an emotional roller coaster. But life has ups and downs.
You still support them?
Got to support them. Because
we've been through this, Abue. You've got to find a man who supports a mid-range football team, because that shows loyalty.
Ben gave you a stern lecture the other day.
If you know anybody who supports Man City... And you're willing to go out on dates with anybody who supports Man City, you're in some trouble. That is the reddest of red flags.
Yeah. That actually makes you a red flag for wanting to consider that. I have my new boyfriend. He's a Paris Saint-Germain fan.
Talk about shifting the plane.
Yeah, please. Don't do that. That you just run away.
Trust me, if you're on the show for more than 5 minutes, you've got to learn how to shift the blame. Otherwise, pile up on you and you'll just
become eroded. Yeah. On this show, it's basically as much shit as you can throw at the other people on the show. Yeah. That's how long you'll still be around.
Yeah.
It's very, very good. Okay, so what kind of things do you do besides watch and play sport and love sport and run the eventing business up to a short while ago? Like, what other things do you do for fun?
Oof, serial party goer.
Nice. Okay, so still, this is good. I need to ask you some questions then.
Because
people always say to me, where do you go out in Joburg? And I don't know anymore because I'm not cool enough to go to the right places. And frankly, I don't want to. I stayed home. I mean, Simpiwe was disgusted in me. We went to this awards dinner last night. And 5 minutes into it, I just got up. I was sitting next to her.
Yes.
I got up. I was like, no.
You're out of here.
Yeah.
He's like, I've had it.
So you didn't stay and get drunk like James?
No.
James, and they woke you up early.
Listen, it's not a statement that I didn't think the awards were cool or the reason for us to be there was cool. I'm just not good. You know, you learn very quickly what you're not good at. But the question was, where do you go?
I find that so weird because, and I don't want to expose my age, at Matric Rage, you were the headliner at Matric Rage.
That's more embarrassing for me than it is for you. But that, no, because, I mean, in those days,
you're
I was also...
You're world famous game club DJ.
Yeah, that's, but when you're the DJ, you actually have something to do.
Right.
So you can look like you're cool and you come in and you play some music and people are like, woo, you're the DJ.
Yeah.
That was at the time, right? Yeah. When DJs
actual quote when Gareth got onto the stage.
Woo, the DJ, whatever. And then, but you're doing something.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you finish doing that, you stay for a while and you have some drinks with people and you meet people and everything. Yeah. But you've got something to do. I'm not good at standing around. And I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, so just to go back to your original question.
Where do you go?
There's a lot of places to go to. You know, I used to go to the Royale a lot. I used to... Yes, the nightclub scene is still very...
I hear Onyx is still good.
Onyx, Louis, Alicia and Stefan have just opened a new club called Louis.
Yeah.
So, I am... You know, some of my friends are big DJs, so I just follow them gig to gig and drink their riders. And
beautiful. That's a good man.
Living the South African dream.
No, but dude, that's so... How old are you now?
34.
Okay, no, there's nothing better to be doing.
Yeah, so
I don't care what anyone says. People are like, no, you must start being serious at this age or that age.
No, 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 I'm already serious enough.
That's, have the fun, please.
Yeah, so super sociable guy. And family person first. I love my family, my siblings, probably most attached to my siblings. My sister just flew out to Florida. Now she's studying aviation in Florida.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
My stepdad was the first black captain at SAA. So
okay.
All right.
Now that's an interesting thing.
You should lead with that.
Yeah. So like,
give him time, Simpiwe.
I was leading up to it. You know? So my little, you know, law degree adversity, they were kind of like, go for it. And then when she became a pilot, you know, it was like the biggest thing.
That is very cool.
Yeah. So,
a friend of mine is actually a pilot, and we're doing a farewell for him on Saturday because he's about to go and fly for an overseas airline.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And for your sister to be, I know how much work that is.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And expensive, by the way. To get the hours is expensive.
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very cool that that's what she does.
Yeah, it's
and
awesome.
Especially as a woman.
Yep.
Because there aren't that many women pilots.
Yeah.
And most guys, when they see a woman in the cockpit, they're like,
I still haven't got it into a plane with her. She's invited me so many times.
Oh, you haven't?
I'm too scared.
Oh, that's not a great endorsement.
No, I'm too
that's
scared.
That's not a great endorsement.
No, for me.
Is side-eyeing you.
It is my little sister.
That was such
sister.
A beautiful story. And so I was like, yeah,
okay,
I'm not
going
to
keep quiet now. Thank you so much. Sorry. It was great having you on the show.
Sandile, when you were saying, oh, yeah, I'm really proud. I love my family. And then the violin music was starting to play. And everybody's building up to a swell. They're like, oh, we love this guy. He's a family guy. And then you're like, well, I won't fly.
I was just scared. Not like it's my little sister. I mean, she's like 24, so like it's weird for me.
Nico says Sims is definitely feeling last night. Give her a break. She doesn't get to go out on a Thursday very often. I don't mind. You know what I said to James and Flex?
Yeah.
Because I got in here and I could see they were all like bloodshot eyes. And I remember doing that.
Yep.
There were nights where I went out and I would do my morning show the next day and I was still drunk.
But you pushed through.
Yes, sis. But the audience knew. Everybody knew. We all knew. And I said to them, I would rather have them come here and sleep like homeless people under the desks. As long as they switch the show on.
Yeah. Be good to go.
And at 8 o'clock when the show finishes, they can go back to sleep under their desks. Yes. But they must just make sure that happens. Because otherwise, if we get into trouble with these people in the comments section, it'll be just
well,
hell.
You haven't done morning radio until you actually have done that.
Yeah, really? I think that's true. Have you not ever got to the office
Everyone's
the next
pulled
morning?
Oh, I've got like a crazy story when I was doing my articles. There used to be a club in Monte Cassino called Cantari.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Thursday night. It was always Thursday nights.
Always. Who's a Thursday?
And so me and my colleagues went out and they called it at a respectful time. They said 2 a.m. I was like, no, I'm still having a good time. I thought I could beat 4 hours traffic. I left at 5.
Ooh.
The traffic ate me up to like 7. I got home and I'm like, let me just shower and go to work. I smelled like something ridiculous. And I think I only worked for like 2 hours, passed out on my desk. I'm surprised I made it out that day. Thank God, you know.
So here's the real reason for the exit of law.
Right? Yeah. No, I made it. I did it until the end. And,
no, dude, everybody.
First jobs are crazy.
Who did anyone catch you out? Did anyone walk past?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like, because it was like 4 or 5 of us who just were like, let's just find a way to get through this day. And, no work was done that day, and thank God my boss at that time was super understanding, and he had his own set of problems, so he also walked in at like 12. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So, yeah. Oh, first job, guys. Please, yeah, just find a way to be disciplined, man.
No. We all have to learn this way. Everybody, have you've pitched up for work?
So, I remember a while ago, you invited me to this Idols party.
Like 10 years ago.
No, much longer. I was, for some strange reason, I was becoming a personal trainer a long, long time ago. When I first met you, like a long time ago.
Yep.
And you invited me to this party after one of the Idols things and literally stayed out. So I went from the party with you all the way to 4:30 to the gym to open up. Because I was in the morning shift.
And that's a great job to have to do when you're hungover.
So you're there 4:30 until like 12:30, whatever it was. And that was a tough day, but... Of course, I was in my 20s. I could do it.
Yeah.
So you know what, Nico, in the comments, don't give Simpiwe a hard time. You've done it too. I see Bitcoin Boot says, try working with a hangover in a hot kitchen.
Oh, my gosh.
Ooh, that's hard. Apparently,
hope you survived.
Hey Gareth, what do you call a black guy who flies a plane? Says Carl DeSantos. A pilot, you fucking racist.
Is that what happens on the show?
Yes.
On this show, it's Carl. Oh, yeah. Lots of friends.
You haven't been. Mapelo says white privilege, Sandile. See, this is how we go.
Jesus, how you start your mornings?
Jeez. Yeah, this is how we start.
Our crowd pretty chilled. Jesus,
chilled.
Yeah, I remember once I went out partying with some friends and I got home, I don't know, about 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, in those days you could pull like an all-nighter and you didn't die of a hangover the next day.
Yeah.
But then I forgot that I had to go to a funeral.
Oh. That's crazy.
Now, do you know, like when you're in the funeral, black stuff, and it was the middle of summer.
And you're sweating it out.
Sure, dude. But it's okay at a funeral because you disguise it because people think you look like shit because you're really sad.
Yeah.
So you go, grieving. Oh, so terrible. And you're like, sit down.
Yeah.
And you need to take a moment in the shade. And you're like, oh, I'm feeling so bad about this person. I loved him so much. Meanwhile, he's just really hungover. Yeah, very bad. Ooh, that's deadly, says Belly Vocal Media. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's some situations you just don't want to find yourself in. And in those days also, it was before Uber.
Yep.
Mm.
So there was a lot of driving.
A girl DUI, as they would say.
Big time.
Yep.
Big time. Yeah, listen. I've been at a buffet, says Slippery Pickle. It worked like that. Not easy to blame snoring on the rotisserie. No, that's not great. And also, if you pass out in the food when you're hungover or drunk, and you start drooling all over everyone else's food, that's not
might have
good
an extra. Answer.
That's not good.
Tang to it.
Yeah, exactly. Not the one that you asked for, right? Trying to stay awake, taking people on a game drive was difficult, says Nico. Now, that is horrible.
No, that's horrible.
Because if something goes wrong, can you imagine the game drive and he's fumbling for his rifle because there's a buffalo
but
about
doesn't
to like,
that sober you up? Like in moments like that where you're like, this is life and death. The alcohol just goes gone.
I'm feeling you on that. I'm like, imagine now the elephant now coming. You better sober
I think so.
Yeah, you better sober up and reverse the car, brother.
You get a fright and you're like, oh, Jesus.
I'm putting it in reverse.
Yeah, no, that's very good. That time that you wish you were in the coffin, says Christoph. Exactly. All right, there's some other things I wanted to talk about this morning while we've got both of you here, and some of them have to do with sport. But you did talk a lot about the sports that should and shouldn't be in the Olympics, and I know that the LA Olympics is now starting to come together, and they're saying which sports are in and which are out. So we had this conversation on Wednesday on this show and just said things like cricket and tennis and rugby and soccer, they shouldn't be in the Olympics.
Why?
Yeah, I think
it takes too long.
Cricket for sure shouldn't be there.
No
cricket's
way.
Coming in at LA. Right. So that'll
oh, it is.
Because yeah, you know, for, because, sure, yeah. because America's just had that T20 World Cup, which we completely choked the crap out of in the final again. Because they want to cricket there.
Sport, yeah.
So now they're popping it into the LA games. And I get it because sometimes you need TV rights and all this kind of stuff. Mm. Lacrosse is coming in because they love lacrosse in America.
Yeah, that's huge.
Just explain, that's the one where you
With the
net.
Yeah.
With the net. It's basically Harry Potter without the flight.
Quidditch.
Right.
It's Quidditch, but on the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
And like all those Ponzi college kids play it. So it's a big deal.
Okay.
But they got baseball and softball coming in.
I think that's going to be pretty big.
So where I'm going with this is that each country has their own sort of like almost indigenous beliefs in a team sport, whatever. So that's why it's coming in. I can't see those sports doing well
outside of LA.
So afterwards is Brisbane. They might turf that, but then you might get some backward Aussie team sport, like maybe
AFL.
Is the boomerang not a thing?
No, bring in frisbee. No. All I can say is bring in frisbee.
Frisbee would be cool.
Ultimate frisbee would be a great sport.
I mean, how's
to bring
it different? It's discus, but it's just lighter.
Come on, guys. Look, let's respect some discus.
Well, the thing is, like frisbees, if netball was cool, netball's not coming in, and I know I'll be attacked in the comments about this.
Yes.
Netball, So frisbee, you have the same concept in that you run around, you catch it, and you throw it to someone who dares to run and get it. So it's actually a really cool sport to watch.
I agree. And everybody's played it.
Yeah, no, I'm against frisbee guys.
And you're against whatever
you try. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important
thing. What if you threw a border collie in there, Sophia? Yeah, what if you threw a border collie in? Would frisbee be?
Let us just say that if we've learned anything this morning, it is that Sandile is against frisbee.
Frisbee, that's
most important
thing. And breakdancing. Breakdancing.
So that's what you mean? Don't kill my dream.
That Australian woman finished the sport.
Hey, even me, I could be an Olympian now. Hey, stop it, okay?
She butchered it.
Even me, I got it, okay? My addition. Come on, let's go. Woo! Let's go. Yeah. What do you need? To the left.
Sophia's definitely drunk. Okay. All right. Listen, it's 7 o'clock. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Sandile and Ben and Simpiwe and I are all here to look after you with our two drunk producers, James and Flex. What a fun morning.